RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and Use in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana Fus, the headlines. KPK welcomes 3 new deputies. Indonesian religious groups take a united standpoint against forest fires. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, has announced the names of 3 new deputies, inaugurating each of them on the very same day. Acting KPK Chief Topik Rahman Ruki presented to the public on Tuesday a new lineup of KPK leaders, which included former Lampung Police Chief General Heru Winarko as Deputy of Enforcement and Pahala Painggolan as Deputy for Prevention, and Ranu Miharja, who proposed herself KPK Director of Prosecution, as Deputy for Internal Supervision and Public Report. The new deputies will perform their duties as law enforcers by obeying the nation's law and maintain KPK 100% compaction rate. The inauguration was attended by several KPK officials, political, legal, and security affairs minister Luhut Bishar Panjaitan and Attorney General H.N. Prasetyo. Indonesian religious leaders have denounced the setting of fires in Sumatra and Kalimantan has raised vast tracts of rainforest and generated choking haze that has spread as far as Singapore and Malaysia. Inyoman Udayana Sangin, a member of the Indonesian Hindu Dharma Association, VHDI, said at a discussion in Jakarta on Thursday that all parties should grasp all stakeholders who burn forest. At Tuesday gathering, representatives of 8 major religious organizations, including the Indonesian Communication of Churches, PGI, the Supreme Council for the Confucian Religion in Indonesia, Matakin and Nahdlatul Ulama, NU, took a united standpoint against the slash and burn clearing of forests and its attendant problems, in particular the haze. Najamuddin Ramli, an official from the Indonesian Council of Ulama, MUI, the country's highest Islamic clerical body, condemned the suspect for being greedy by continuously expanding concession area while abandoning ecological impacts. Indonesian Transportation Ministry has suspended PT Penerbangan Angkasa Semesta PT PAS permit to service Simarmahant Kuala Namu Road in North Sumatra following Sunday's incident in Palpinis EC 130 helicopter. The Ministry Director General for Air Transportation, Suprasetyo, on Tuesday, quoted by Antara News Agency, said the airline could resume the route once again, in it met certain corrective action requirements. In addition to the suspension, PT PAS is also not allowed to serve new routes until the National Transportation Safety Commission, KNKT, releases investigation results. Previously, the Ministry Director for Air and Transportation, Muhammad Alwi, said that PT PAS business and operation permits could be suspended as well if Sunday's incident proved to be a crash. The charter EC-130 helicopter lost contact after departing from Kuala Namu International Airport from Simarmahant Village, Harian District, Samosir Regency at around 11:30 a.m. on Sunday. It was piloted by Captain Teguh Mulyanto and had one engineer, Hari Purwanto, and three passengers on board. The helicopter was reportedly chartered by Marihat Simbolon at Businessman's Point Samosir Living in Jakarta. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said that 2015 state budget deficit is still under control and expected will not exceed 2.5% of projected gross domestic product despite the low tax revenue. At a hearing at the House of Representatives on Tuesday, Minister Bambang said that Indonesia will see its deficit exceed the revised budget for this year, set at around 222.5 trillion rupiah, or around 16.6 billion US dollar, equivalent to 1.9% of GDP. This assumption relies simply on the estimate that the state revenue will increase by 40% and tax collections will be 30% higher this year. Tax collection thought has lagged separately. As of October 5th, tax collection for the year excluding excise and export import duties amounted to 686 trillion rupiah, or just 53% of the full year target of 1,294 trillion rupiah. Kereta Api Borneo, the local unit of Russian Railways, is Smalin, plans to break ground for its 190-kilometer railway in East Kalimantan November 17, marking the beginning of the country's multi-billion-dollar investment in Southeast Asia's largest economy. Yadi Subianur, head of the regional corporate affair at the Kereta Api Borneo, said that the railway that will connect Kolhat West Kutai, which will with oil city and Port Balikpapan, was part of a $33 billion investment plan from Russian investors. The East Kalimantan provincial government has said earlier that Russian investors would also be involved in the construction of bridges, ports, and technoparks in the province, with the possibility to build a nuclear power plant. Yet it said that Kereta Api Borneo has required 105 hectares of land needed for the railway, and it is currently in the process of clearing the remaining 184 hectares. He added that Vice President Yusuf Kala had encouraged the company to integrate the project as soon as possible. The tracks are designed to transport freight trains, but the provincial government is keen to turn the system into a passenger railway, depending on the market demand. The last item, Iranian energy holding company Mapna Group is devising plans to invest in Indonesian power sector, riding on the back of the Indonesian government's goal to roll out 35,000 megawatts of electricity across the archipelago in the next 5 years. According to a statement from Mapna Group on Tuesday, executives from the company have reportedly met Energy and Mineral Resource Minister Sudirman Said to discuss possible partnership during the minister's recent visit to Iran. Abbas Ali Abadi, president of Mapna Group, said the company seeks to be actively involved in Indonesian energy market, saying that in the first step, Mapna is prepared to invest in Indonesian power sector in order to increase the country's power capacity by 1,000 megawatts. Ali Abadi added that Mapna, which generates about 47% of Iran's electricity, also seeks to run a service center for power generators in Indonesia. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary entitled, Who Shut Down MH17? An official report was released by the Dutch Safety Board on Tuesday, October 13, on the cause of the plane fall belonging to Malaysia Airlines, MH17, in eastern Ukraine on July 17, 2014. The incident killed all passengers and crew, totaling 298 people, including 12 citizens of Indonesia. Before the representative of the family of the victims gathered in The Hague, the Dutch Safety Board announced that its site found pieces of service to air missiles, BUK, made in Russia, in the bodies of the crew. In the report, it was stated that the passengers and crew lose consciousness as the plane was hit by the missile until it plunged to the ground. However, the report did not detail who fired the missile. Thus, the report tried to end speculation over 15 months why the MH17 Boeing 777 exploded on the air.
The report was spontaneously refused by Russian side and will issue a report according to its version. Meanwhile, the manufacturer of the guided missiles, Almaz-Ante, held a press conference in Moscow at the same time with the submissions of the Dutch report. The Russian company's official said the missiles fired was made before 1986, so it is too old to be used by Russia. Russian-made missiles has a shelf life up to 25 years. Previously, Russia vetoed a plan of establishing an international tribunal for the case of the crash. Russia is the only member of the Security Council that opposed the plan. President Vladimir Putin said that the establishment of the international court would be premature and unproductive. Malaysian government urged the establishment of the tribunal to punish those responsible for the incident. This proposal was supported by the Netherlands, in which its 196 citizens become victims, and supported by Ukraine, Belgium, and Australia. Pro-Russian rebels who control the area of the crash denied being responsible. Meanwhile, Moscow blamed Ukrainian government over the incident. It was impossible that the incident happened without causes, as the findings were presented in the report. Clearly, the crash occurred because there were causes. However, no one claimed to be responsible for the shooting of the plane with the route from Amsterdam to Kuala Lumpur. Ukrainian government, supported by Western powers, accused the rebels behind the tragedy. But the pro-Russian rebels rejected if they were accused of committing. Malaysian side that suffered more wanted the case to be brought to international tribunal to find who the mastermind was. Oddly, Russia refused the case to be processed legally in an ad hoc international court. If so, who is responsible? That was commentary.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. On October 16, 1905, Islamic Trade Union, SDI, is formed by Saman Hudi. Sarekat Islam, or SI, or previously abbreviated SI Islamic Trade, or SDI, is the first political organization in Indonesia where originally Merchants Association Islam. Furthermore, political and social circumstances supporting SI into organizations performing in politics, then SDI changed its name to SI. The Islamic Trade Organization SDI was originally an association of Muslim merchants. This organization was formed by Haji Saman Hudi in Surakarta in 1905 with the initial goal to raise indigenous traders, in particular Muslim batik traders, in order to compete with Chinese traders. At that time, the merchants of Chinese origin has advanced its business and have a right and a higher status than the population of other Dutch East Indians. Policies that deliberately created by the Dutch East Indies government then lead to social change because of the emergence of awareness among the natives, commonly referred to as inlanders. SDI is an economic organization based on the religion of Islam, and the people's economy as the basic driving force. Under the leadership of Haji Saman Hudi, this association is growing rapidly to become an influential association. In 1912, by the new leadership of Haji Umar Said Chokro Aminoto, SDI name was changed to SI, or Sarikat Islam. This is done so that the organization is not only engaged in the economic field, but also in other fields such as politics. On October 16th, the day which is celebrated as the World Food Day. The World Food Day is celebrated every year around the world on October 16th in honor of the date of the founding of the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations in 1945. The day is celebrated widely by many other organizations concerned with food security, including the World Food Program and the International Fund for Agricultural Development. The World Food Day is a day of action against hunger. On October 16th, people around the world come together to declare their commitment to eradicate hunger in our lifetime. Because when it comes to hunger, the only acceptable number in the world is zero. The World Food Day celebrates the creation of the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, or FAO, on October 16, 1945, in Quebec, Canada. It was firstly established in 1979. The World Food Day celebrates the creation of the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, or FAO, on October 16, 1945, in Quebec, Canada. First established in 1979, the World Food Day has since then been observed in almost every country by millions of people. In North America, grassroots events and public awareness campaigns engage diverse audiences in action against hunger. From hunger walks and World Food Day dinners to meal packaging events and food drives, there are many ways for people to be a part of solutions to hunger. October 16, 1978, Karol Joseph Wojtyla from Poland, chosen as Pope, called as Pope John Paul II. Pope John Paul II served as Pope from 1978 to 2015. He was elected by the Second Papal Conclave of 1978, which was called after Pope John Paul I, who was elected in August after the death of Pope Paul VI, died after 33 days. Then Cardinal Wojtyla was elected on the third day of the conclave and adopted his predecessor's name in tribute to him. In the years since his death, John Paul II has been declared a saint by the Roman Catholic Church. He is referred to by Roman Catholics as Pope Saint John Paul II or Saint John Paul the Great, for example, as a name for institutions. John Paul II is recognized as helping to end communist rule in his native Poland and eventually all of Europe. John Paul II significantly improved the Catholic Church's relations with Judaism, Islam, the Eastern Orthodox Church, and the Anglican Communion. He upheld the Church's teachings on such matters as artificial contraception and the ordination of women, but also supported the Church's Second Vatican Council and its reforms. That was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Welcome to Focus, today entitled "The Concept of State Defense Should Be Appropriate with the Law." Listener Vice President Yusuf Kala viewed the concept of defending the country should be adjusted to the existing legislation. Yusuf Kala at the Vice President's office in Jakarta Tuesday, October 13th, said this program must have a legal basis before inaugurated by the government. Previously, the Defense Ministry plans to recruit 100 million cadres to defend the country from all regions in Indonesia this year. According to Defense Minister Ria Mizar Ryakudu, the existence of a cadre of civil defense is very important and urgent given the tendency of the recent erosion of national vision. He also said that strong state defense system will make a country stronger. He said he would start educating cadres of defending the country this year. The goal for all people, including students. Riamizat Riakudu also said the creation of a cadre of defending the country will be carried out through the state security program in each district or cities throughout Indonesia. This year, it will start in 47 districts or cities located in 11 military district command Kodam. Member of Commission 1 of the House of Representatives DPR, El Nino Hussein Mohi, in Jakarta Wednesday asserted, to defend the state is a necessity and importance in the present context. He said, conception of the state defend in that context is needed, not in the form of physical readiness of citizens for war, but the readiness of citizens to defend the republic from the influence of foreign values and ideologies. El Nino Hussein Mohi said, it can be seen culturally, we tend to follow the liberal views, which is not in accordance with the cultural roots of the country. Even the majority of Indonesian citizens, especially young people, no longer know the history of the nation. Far from the perspective of Pancasila and the Constitution, except those certain young who really learn well the history of socio-political cultural of the nation. In fact, Hussein Mohi said, Indonesia will soon face a demographic explosion that often referred as a demographic bonus, the condition where the number of young people of productive age become majority. If the young people still ignore the history and ideology of the state and nation, this country could be in a very critical condition in the future. Conversely, if the young age productive understand the condition, appreciate and practice the noble ideological values of the nation, someday Indonesia would be truly sovereign, united, independent, prosperous, secure and prosperous country. Meanwhile, Vice Chairman of the House of Representatives, DPR, Agus Hermanto, at the Parliament Complex Jakarta, suggested the government prefers the proposal of modernization of primary weaponry systems of Indonesia military TNI and the needs of the Indonesian police from the issuing budget for the implementation of defending the country, which is currently not urgent. However, Agus admitted that the civil defense training bring a good benefits. According to Agus Hermanto, civil defense program might be included in the curriculum of the Ministry of Education and with the involvement of various ministries and agencies to be more effective. Listener, that was Focus.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesian Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, has announced the names of 3 new deputies inaugurating each term on the very same day. Acting KPK Chief Taufikur Rahman Ruki presented to the public on Tuesday a new lineup of KPK leaders, which included former Lampung Police Chief General Heru Winarko as Deputy of Enforcement, Pahala Pianggolan as Deputy for Prevention, and Ranu Miharja as a Deputy for Internal Supervision and Public Report. Indonesian religious leaders have denounced the setting of fires in Sumatra and Kalimantan, has said fast tracks of rainforest and generated choking haze that has spread as far as Singapore and Malaysia. Indonesian Transportation Minister has suspended PT Penerbangan Angkasa Semesta PT Pas permit to service the Simarmahant, Kuala Namu Road in North Sumatra following Sunday's incident in Palpinis EC-130 helicopter. The Minister Director General for Air Transportation, Suprasetyon Trusdeskoti Bantara News Agency, said that the airline could resume the route again once it met certain corrective action requirements. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said that 2015 state budget deficit is still under control and expect it will not exceed 2.5% of projected gross domestic product despite the low tax revenue. Kereta Api Borneo, the local unit of Russian Railways, is Malind, plans to break ground for its 190-kilometer railway in East Kalimantan on November 17, marking the beginning of the country's multi-billion-dollar investment in Southeast Asia's largest economy. Iranian energy holding company Magna Group is devising plans to invest in Indonesian power sector, riding on the back of the Indonesian government's goal to roll out 35,000 megawatts of electricity across the archipelago in the next 5 years. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, special food, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit the province of Riau Islands. Stay tuned. Listener, Lingga, one of regencies in Riau Islands province, has 531 large and small islands, as well as 447 uninhabited islands. With its potential, Lingga has many maritime destinations such as the Nusa Balido Beach. The beach has a concave coastline which resembles a bay. The stretch of white sand is lightly browned. Nusantara Balibo Beach has calm waves and clear blue water. Located in the Tanjung Harapan Seregang village, the beach is managed by John Hanuer, a known figure who cared about tourism in the region. The man then conjured up the scrubland area into the coastal locations visited by many foreign tourists from Australia, Belgium, and the Netherlands. Listener, Nusantara Balido Beach is only 2 hectares wide. However, as laid out nicely and its clean environment maintained well, the beach looks so beautiful and attractive. This is also the reason why the beach is much visited by visitors. If you come to the tourism area, you can explore the backside of a gently sloping beach, and it is built the wooden huts roofed with woven sago leaves on the top. To reach there, you have to walk through the small wooden bridge on the artificial island covering an area of about 20 square meters. You can bask in the long chairs, dining in the sun, or just take pictures. Even if you are lucky, once in a while, you'll get a chance to encounter a group of white storks flying or foraging on the beach. Besides relaxing, you can also swim and bathe on the beach. For those who like fishing, you can do your hobby here. The best location lies around this tiny island. To reach the Nusantara Balido Beach is not difficult. Unfortunately, there is no public transportation to get there. You must rent a car or a motorbike. To enter this tourism area, you are free of charge. Even the parking was free. The beach is always supported by complete facilities. Toilets, canteen, and showers are also available. To spend the night, you can stay in bungalows whose position facing the sea. At the bungalow, it is also available bedroom, bathroom, fan, and television. Hopefully, Nusantara Balido Beach become your destination choice for your holiday in Indonesia. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonderful today with the topic Nusantara Balido Beach. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topic. Sampai jumpa. Goodbye for now.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, VOI listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany with me, Rahma. Today we present you the World Food Day. South Sumatra Province is ready to host the commemoration of the 35th World Food Day for the national level. This international moment is commemorated by at least 194 member countries of the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, or FAO. South Sumatra Province is selected to host the World Food Day 2015 based on its active role in the fields of agriculture and food security to support food diversification program. It is set forth in the decree of the Indonesian Agriculture Minister number 153/TU/220/M/6/2014 dated on June 11, 2014, on the willingness of South Sumatra Province to host the 35th World Food Day. Head of South Sumatra Food Security Agency, Amruzi Minha, said the 35th World Food Day is commemorated for 5 days with the peak event on October 16, 2015 at Jakabaring Sports City, Palembang. This year, the event presents various activities like seminar, agricultural products exhibition and bazaar, competition and many more. The World Food Day commemoration aims to raise public awareness of food security handling in the global, regional, and national level. The World Food Day is commemorated to strengthen the solidarity of nations to eradicate food and nutrition deprivation, which is still experienced by most of world citizens, particularly in developing countries. The benefit of this day commemoration is that people can find out the role of governments, private parties, universities, and people in general to realize the national food security. Besides the growing awareness of all people of natural resources potential and challenges to realize food security with its various related factors. Well, VOI listener, that ends today's miscellany on the World Food Day. I'm Rahma. Thanks for listening. Thank you.
again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Rahma, in our regular segment, Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's edition presents you a dangdut singer, Hamdan Atete, who was popular in 80s through his popular album Termiskin di Dunia or The Poorest in the World. Well, listener, to begin our program, we present you a song by Hamdan Atete entitled Secangkir Kopi or A Cup of Coffee. Happy listening. Listener, Hamdan Atete, who was born as Hamdan Atamimi, was born in Aru Islands, Southeast Maluku, on January 27, 1949. For you who was born in before 80s, you must be really familiar to Hamdan Atete, a singer who was popular in 80s through his popular album, Termiskin di Dunia or The Poorest in the World. And this song is even really, really popular until now for the music lovers in the country. This album is the most popular album in history, and it deserves as the most successful album in the era, with the total selling of about 1,200 copies. And this album led him to fame. Well, VOI listener, before we continue, let's listen to a song by Hamdan Atete entitled Termiskin di Dunia, or The Poorest in the World. Enjoy.
Sebelum terlanjur, pikir-pikirlah dulu. Sebelum engkau menyesal kemudian. Kemudian bahkan permata uang pun aku tiada.
Thank you very much, listener, for still listening to Music Corner, presenting you a dangdut singer, Hamdan Atete, who began his career through pop song, and in brief, he decided to be engaged in dangdut music. At the age of 30, Hamdan entered the recording label for the first time through his premier album Petualang Cinta, or Love Adventurer, and it continued to the second one in 1980 with the title Pendusta or Liar, produced by MGM. From here, Hamdan Atete started gaining fame among dangdut music lovers. Now, Hamdan Atete is one of Indonesian senior dangdut singers. Besides singing, Hamdan also composes dangdut songs. Songs that he composed usually performed by Mohsin Alatas and Elvi Sukaisi. Besides other Indonesian dangdut singers like Roma Irama also sing his songs like Kemarau and Bunga-Bunga Cinta, also Rantai-Rantai Derita. Until now, Hamdan Atete has composed about 150 songs, and 20 of them he sings by himself. Well, VOI listener, that ends our today's edition of Dangdut Music Corner. And to end our program for today, we play you two songs by Hamdan Atete entitled Hidup Pas-Pasan and Bekas Pacar. Happy listening to you all, and I'll see you again in another edition of Music Corner. Bye-bye.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Masih
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.